This is such a great idea. You know, we don't have temples to go to, and it's such an important day. Okay. Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Udmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was saying, this is just such a good idea. And I'm very thankful to have this service because it's such an important day for our devotional for our devotional service. Bhaktivinod Thakur says, he sings in one song, Madhava Titi Bhakati Janati, the days of Lord Hari, which specifically means Akadasis and the days where the Lord appeared. Bhakati Janani. Janani means give birth to bhakti. Just as a mother gives birth to the child had not appeared and then appears. So it's like that with bhakti. So it's very, very important to honor these days. It's one of the principles of devotional service. And I see, I'm kind of spoiled because my whole life in devotional service has been in the one sense or another in the ashrams and also in Vrindavan. And, you know, I joke with people that come to Vrindavan that, you know, Vrindavan is the spiritual world because no one, you don't have to have a job there. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, it doesn't matter. So if Janmashtami falls on during the week, it doesn't matter. Everyone is free. And of course, the temple puts on, you know, elaborate festivals. Or when I was in America in the Bhakti Center or in Tuaco. And so I see in the present world, people living outside, and it may be a work day. In the future, they should try to avoid that. They should try to reserve this day. For chanting, hearing about Krishna. So I'm kind of, I am very happy that I can help start off your day, at least to those of you that are in the Western Hemisphere. I can start off your day with some Krishna Katha. And then you should seriously think during the day how you could continue it. You know, either read the stories of Krishna book, you know, etc. So in my mind, I have a particular strategy. I'm going to give a little bit of Krishna Tattva, the science of who is Krishna. And I do want to go over the story and his birth, just the key points. I remember one, it was actually on the 100th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada, so I think was that 1986 maybe, or 96? No, 96, 1996. So, no, I'm not sure, no. But when I gave my class, I went over the whole story of Krishna. So it's going to be fun to see how much I can remember it. But the Bhagavatam is about Krishna, and there's a Paribhasa Sutra. Some people say it's the Paribhasa Sutra. It's the theme sutra. Every book has to have a theme. And a theme is a particular idea which everything else in the book is connected, even if it appears unrelated. So that's in the third canto. The first canto, I think the third chapter, the 28th verse. Ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnas tu bhagavan. There's so many incarnations, but Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original personality of Godhead. But what does that term original mean? Does that mean that one time Narayan was not existing, Vishnu was not existing, the Sringadeva was not existing? No. So what is original? The Brahma Samhita says, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme Ishvara. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, and he has a form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Anadir Adir Govinda. He's the origin of all. He has no other origin. Sarva Karana Karanam, and he's the cause of all causes. But what does that original mean? It can't mean there was Krishna and there weren't even the Jivas, because Krishna includes his marginal potency. So we're existing as Krishna is the origin of all the Jivas, but we're existing as long as Krishna is existing. And so are all the incarnations. So what does Swayam mean? The original. It means the fullest manifestation of God. Of course, these matters of temporal matters of time, original, etc., it's hard to ascribe to the spiritual world because material time doesn't work there. So everything is eternal. It's a different existence. Although there's sequence of events, they're all eternal. Everything is always happening. That's Prabhupada gave a nice example of the sun. You know, right now it's dawn. But does that mean that dust doesn't exist someplace? Does that mean noon doesn't exist? And when there's noon here, does it mean that dawn is gone? They all exist simultaneously. So what does original mean? Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. It means his fullest manifestation. And I've discussed this before, and it's such a wonderful point. that the fullest manifestation of a person, the fullest manifestation of being, is all his identities in relationship. Son, daughter, friend, lover, parent. Our love is the fullest manifestation of our being. And therefore, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is practically the main specific text to describe Krishna in one sense, outside the Bhagavatam, but it describes, it begins, Akila Rasamrita Murti, that Krishna is the Murti, the embodiment, Akila, the complete embodiment, Rasamrita, of the nectar of rasa or relationship. That's who Krishna is. And therefore, because the fullest, and Krishna is the supreme, you can't be the supreme position of Godhead and the supreme personality of Godhead at the same time. I've made this point before, that position covers personality. Right? I gave that definition of God. Krishna is God with his guard down. Because when you have position, your relationship with others is only as master. Your side of friendship has to be covered when you take a position. Your nature as lover, your nature as child, they all have to be covered. So the fullest manifestation of being, the supreme personality of Godhead, is when God comes without a position as a cowherd boy. So his fullest and most intimate side, his fullest and most intimate side can manifest. And that's why it's so interesting. You know, sometimes when you read the Shastra, you find things that you've never read before, even though they seem so significant. And I can't say it's not someplace else, but that the first time that we see Krishna in the two main books about Krishna, the book about Krishna and the book by Krishna, the Gita, spoken by Krishna, and the Bhagavatam, the first time we see Krishna in both places is as the charioteer driver of Arjuna. Where do we see Krishna when we first see him? Without position. Where his love can manifest fully. And of course, Prabhupada gave that example of Narayan is the high court judge. Krishna is when he's home. I think Ravindra Sarup Prabhu said something like, see, Krishna is God at home. It's the same person. There's not a Krishna, there's not a Vishnu, there's not an Ashringadev. It's one person, the original person, the fullest person. Just like if you call someone boss, you know, they're writing a book now about the history of preaching in New York. Satyaraj is writing it now. He's commissioned to write it. And it's practically has to interview every devotee in the movement. You got 26 Second Avenue, and then you got 61 Second. You got the Brooklyn Temple and the Henry Street, and then you got the Bhakti Center, and then Radha Govinda Mandir. Sometimes I go off on the point. Let me see. I'll think a second and get back to the point. Okay, it generally will come back if I continue to speak. Anyway, I gave that example of a, it's the same person. Just manifest in different ways. And Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Swayam Bhagavan, Akila Rasamrita Murti. And therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami lists the 64 qualities of Krishna, he is the only being that has all 64 qualities. Narayan and Vishnu and the avatars can have up to 60, and Lord Brahma can have up to, I don't know, 56 or something. And living being, we can have up, because we can be clever, we can be beautiful. So there's 50 qualities we can have. But what are the four qualities that distinguish Krishna from all other avatars? They're the qualities that describe the full being of God in love. The first one is prema madhurya, the sweetness of his love. You can only have one relationship in other religions generally when God is described in majesty, and that's as a servant. And that's such a wonderful, beautiful expression of love and awe and reverence. The tapasvis can, the gyanis, an immanent description of God as all pervading. It's very beautiful in those prayers. Om Purnam Idam Purnam 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 Udachyate Purnasya Purnam. Sishyate, there's so many. Om Param Param. There's so many beautiful prayers. Very, very beautiful. But prema madhurya, the variety of sweet relationships you can have with Krishna, because he's just a cowherd boy. You can be his friend. You can be his parent. You can be his intimate servant, and you can be his lover. Prema Madhurya, and then Lila Madhurya. Because there's Prema Madhurya, there's Lila, a variety of relationships. Your relationship with a master is limited to reverential service. But with Krishna, there can be Mukunchor. Krishna comes as the most beautiful child who is very intelligent, and intelligent children are naughty. And when they're naughty and they're very, very young, it shows their cleverness and it's actually attractive. So Krishna would go into the houses of the elderly gopis, and they would make the butter. One of the things I used to do in Vrindavan, my friend Prema Kishore, Prema Kishore has a farm 10 minutes from the temple. And, you know, the cow's milk, and we would churn the milk into butter. And, you know, around the tree, you know, you'd have the stick would be wrapped around, and then it'd be wrapped a tree, and you put the pot of milk And you go like this, and you keep on churning and churning and churning and churning and churning and churning. And then it would start to turn a little yellow, and then the fresh muckin. Krishna would love that muckin, that butter. So obviously with monkeys in Vrindavan, they would hang the butter up on the rafters. So the monkeys couldn't get it. And then Krishna would sneak in and he would go on a friend's shoulder and he would take a stick and he would break the butter and it would come down and he would eat all the butter. And then he would open the door, that rascal, and then all the monkeys would come and eat the butter. And then the mothers would come out so angry. What have you done, Krishna? He said, why are you blaming me? This butter is just rancid. It's spoiled. No, it's fresh butter. He said, no. Look, even the monkeys won't take the butter because he had filled them up so much. So Krishna is mucking chore. And then there's Rasa Leela dancing with the gopis, where there is such an enjoyment of love exchange called rasa, rasa lila. It's so sweet. Krishna dancing and exchanging love he manifests between all the gopis. And after intense separation, they're finally with their beloved. The main fundamental quality of love that touches one's heart is when your love for another one is accepted, indicating their love for you. So what is it like when the gopi's love is not only accepted, but Krishna's going to dance with them? And there's a higher energy than just mundane sexual energy. Something's much more pleasurable. That's Krishna's internal potency. The supreme enjoyment, because it's the essence of God's Ladini Shakti. And that's flowing from the gopis to Krishna. And celestial music and dancing with Krishna. So the Rasa Leela. And then there is Rupa Madhurya. There's a special beauty in Krishna. Happiness creates beauty. That's why when people smile, they're more beautiful when they're depressed. So Krishna's happiness is unparalleled in this Prema Madhurya, this Leela Madhurya, and then his form manifests. And I like to quote the one reference from the Bhagavatam, Baharpidam Natavara Babu Karniyo Karnikaryam Bibrad Vishad Kanika Kapi Sam Vaijayanti Chamalam. His peacock feather, he's the most excellent dancer. And he has beautiful tulips in his ears, and he's got part of his hair behind, a part of the hair behind his ears, and part curls up, and his lotus eyes, and his threefold bending form, and his silken golden dhoti, and his Vaijayanti mala, the forest flowers hanging down to his knees, and he's so beautiful, Krishna. And he's beautiful because he's love. And his beauty is to please his devotees. And because it's God's desire, it's the supreme beauty. And Venu Madhurya. Venu Madhurya means he plays his flute. And that's a very interesting one because it means that in the incarnation of Krishna, God can express his deepest emotions publicly. He will never do that when he's Narayan or Vishnu, when he's the creator, when he's the high court judge, so to speak, as Prabhupada's analogy is there. He publicly, and so much can be said about Krishna's flute and how when he blows his flute, all the devotees hear their tune called. Every cow hears their tune called, that Krishna is calling them, which just, and when they hear that, their beloved, the object of their love, the supreme object of love, who is real, who is eternal, who's full of bliss, who can perfectly reciprocate every living entity's love. That has to be our goal. Our goal, more than just the activities of devotion, which are the most, which are important, we have to have the heart of devotion. And what is the heart of devotion? We have to want Krishna as an expression of love for Krishna. And Krishna, ye yatam papadyante tam sataiva bhajam. Krishna will respond accordingly as we surrender to him. We have to invoke Krishna's reciprocation with us. And therefore, we have to feel it in heart. That's what we have to want. That's what we have to desire. That's what we have to express. That's the essence of our mantra. The mantra is a vehicle of our hearts to tell Krishna that we want more than anything else in this world. We want a relationship with Krishna, which means we want to feel that acceptance. So that's the tattva of Krishna. Now, the birth of Krishna is very interesting, and Prabhupada summed it up in the, he summed it up in the Krishna book, the wonderful Krishna book, which is basically the 10th canto. I don't think there's anything lacking in the Krishna book. Prabhupada combined the verses with the commentaries, if you see it. But he doesn't begin the Krishna book with the first verse of the 10th canto. I think he begins with the 11th or 12th, because the first verses are just an introduction. And then the story begins, and it's one of my favorite lines, or at least the beginning of it. Once when the world was overburdened by an unnecessary defense force of Devaniya kings, the earth in the form of a cow approached Lord Brahma, who's the chief creator of the universe. The earth was distressed. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bharati, or glanir bharati bhavata, bhutanam dharmasya. Glanir, whenever there's a discrepancy of religion, then God comes. Actually, Krishna appears once. Now we have to really meditate on our fortune. Krishna appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. Once in a day of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma lives there's 14 manus in a day of Lord Brahma. a day, not even a day and a night, in a day. Each Manu lives for 72 yuga cycles. That's 4,300,000 years. So a day of Lord Brahma is 14 times 72 times 4,300,000. And Krishna appears in the 28th millennium of one of the Manus. Rati, look it up and chat it to me if you can. Vaibhishvatara Manu. And if you look at it, that's the seventh Manu. So the end of the seventh Manu's life is noon. And so it's Krishna appears about 11:38 every day. And then Lord Chaitanya appears 500 years afterwards. And then we appear with all the difficulty and problems and crap and so many things we have to endure, and this crazy world of slander and sickness and politics and confusion and pollution and insanity and madness and with everything else that goes on, somehow or other, we appeared basically when Krishna appeared, a little bit afterwards. And then Lord Chaitanya. And the demigods, they line up to take birth in Kali Yuga because, as it says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of a sense of false prestige. That's us in Kali Yuga, devoid of a sense of false prestige. It works on us to crush our sense of superiority. Anyway, then they gather all the demigods and they go to the milk ocean. They go to where God is manifesting as Vishnu, and they petition for Krishna to come. You know, when I was giving this, I remember in Vrindavan, I was staying, when I stayed for 12 years in Giriraj Swami's house, one of the good places I was blessed to stay. I was there during the summer, during Janmashtami. And for like 2 weeks before, I was doing this Harikatha. So I was reading the Bhagavatam, and then my class would begin at 4, and about quarter to 4, I would run up to the Gurukul, where my godbrother, the great Bhagavatam scholar, Radha Govinda Swami, was staying. And I would say, I'm speaking on this verse. And he would give me a little insight on it. And there were very many beautiful points. And this is very instructive. Why didn't Brahma go along? Why did he bring all the demigods? And this is, it's almost Indian politics, but it's actually spiritual. When you want something to done, you don't come alone. And that's called group petition. Group petition is better than individual calling. And that's why Sankirtan is better than Kirtan, because it's group petition. The other thing it said, it shows the potency of families worshiping God. When you come all together, come with your friends, come with your family, join the congregation. So that's the, and then, you know, there's a voice from the sky, and Vishnu says, I will appear, and he orders all the demigods to appear in Vrindavan, and that's the beginning. And then we're taken to the scene where Krishna's mother, Devaki, gets married to Krishna's father, Vasudev. And in the Indian system, the girl will live at the husband's house. And, you know, it's a little bit an emotional thing, leaving her own family. So that, you know, the father sends along her girlfriends, the maid servants, and there's a big procession. And and her brother, Kamsa, he agrees to drive the chariot. So he's driving the chariot, and there's the beautiful Devaki and Vasudev, who's so intelligent. He's so intelligent. And this is going to come up later, that when he was born, they knew a personality would appear who had the quality of asabandha. Asabandha means your hope or wishes cannot be bound. A person who has unlimited determination. There's nothing that can deter you. And the demigods knew that. So Anaka Dundabi. Anarka is trumpets and Dundabi is kettle drums. So when he was born, the demigods were glorifying him. And he was a Kshatriya. He's actually has the same father as Nanda Maharaj, but to have Vasudev, his mother was a Kshatriya. To have Nanda Maharaj, his mother was a Vaishya. They're actually related. So the procession is going, and, you know, and honestly speaking, when you go back, you know, there's such a lack of culture. You know, we should really get into the Vaishnav culture. That's why it's so important to celebrate these festivals. You know, I guess because we're a new religious movement, our congregation, our, you know, it's not, you know, yeah, it's not that big yet, or it's not in our particular area, or it's not really our church, our like-minded people. But it's so important, festivals, which engages everyone. Everyone becomes engaged in service. I remember there's so many wonderful festivals at the Bhakti Center, and people were there, and they were decorating and hosting and cooking, and it just engages everyone out of love and glorification for Krishna or his devotee. The beautiful festival, and during the festival, there's an Akash Vani. Akash means sky voice, Vani, instructions from the sky. And Kamsa is a demon, so a demon has a very big ego. They are the controller, they are the enjoyer. That's their conception, that's what they want, that's what they'll work for. And there's no principles. If to control and enjoy, you must kill someone, then you kill someone because that's your principle. There's no higher morality. We see this in some of the mafia stories. You know, just kill your enemy. So Kamsa is a demon. But somehow or other, his sister's a devotee, and he has that bodily attachment. So he's driving the chariot, and then he hears the voice from the sky. Kamsa, you're such a fool. You are carrying the woman who's in whose womb her eighth child will be your death. You fool. And being called a fool to a demon, being called a fool, trying to diminish his false ego. And then he said, this is my sister, but if she's my death, then she has to die. And he was so powerful, Kamsa, he grabbed her by the hair and took out the sword and was ready to cut off her head. Now, another interesting point I found out when I would go to Radha Govinda Swami, and if I did it verse by verse, there's so many words impregnated with meaning, how they describe the adjectives that describe Kamsa as like the worst demon, every single word that describes him. But it was actually the demigods who had that voice because they saw Kamsa was so powerful. And if he was able to serve a devotee, how much more powerful they have to stop him. If he keeps on serving his sister and brother and brother-in-law, the mother and father of God, he'll become unlimitedly powerful. And with that power, he will destroy us all. But anyway, Kamsa grabbed the hair with the left hand and took up his sword and was ready to cut off the head. And Vasudeva was just no match for Kamsa. And he had his wife's hand in his left hand. He had her hair, and he was, And I grew up in New York too, and I saw sometimes where thugs, you know, they were fighting to control their lower urges. This will just be a little New York story. I hope it doesn't divert from the Bob, but I was hanging out one day with my friends, and the most feared person in the neighborhood came to ask us for money. And there were two people. The two most feared people in the neighborhood came and approached us. And I can never forget the names. Rocco Crigliano and Joey Stiff. And I remember we were trying to kind of pacify them, you know, so they were hitting us with money. It's just such a force of ignorance. It's just so hard to stop that. Even if there's a sense of goodness, a sense of any sense in them. And Vasudev, he was like the supreme diplomat. Him and Akrura were just like, these people were just so brilliant. If you ever saw a person who actually had these kind of skills, it's so powerful and amazing. I'm thinking of Tamal Krishnamaraj. My God, how powerful he was. And how he could control and pacify and amazing. So, in terms of diplomacy, there are four principles. Sama, Beda, Dana, and Danda. Sama is you pacify the person. Oh, you know, you glorify him, you know, and, you know, you hope for that. And then if that doesn't work, Beda, you try to create some fear in them. If that doesn't work, you pay them off, Dana. If that doesn't work, then you have to fight, Danda. So Vasudev was, you know, Kamsa was like, and Vasudev was so one line after another was just holding him back. I mean, he tried to create fear in him. He said, "How can you kill someone who is a woman? That's bad enough. Who is your sister? On the day of a marriage, basically, how low can you go?" So it was kind of creating some resistance, but you know, this fit that this lady will carry, and this will be my death. And he was so uncontrolled. And then finally, what happened? Is Vasudev became exasperated? Exasperated, I think. He became exasperated because he saw that this person was so demoniac. And he was about to give up, but he didn't give up. Because he was ruled by Shastra and not his emotions. And in Shastra, it says you should try to save life as far as possible. So he felt that I have to give him. And then he thought of a plan because he was so smart. And he said, "Kamsa, it is not my wife who will kill you. It's her eighth child, and I will give over all the children." And he thought in his mind, "At least let me save my wife. Kamsa could die. So many other things could happen." And here is the amazing thing, and this says a lot about Vedic culture. It also reflects very poorly on us. Kamsa believed him because he knew a man's word was gold. Once someone said something, they would never go back on their word. And in the purport and the commentary, probably from the commentary or one of the verses, there's nothing too difficult for a man of character in the line of his duty. The whole Vedic culture was based on this principle of instilling in people truthfulness so that they can be controlled and elevated just by their word. You know, when I came to India, four years ago, I would meet people whose their words were the lines in stone. I'd meet people that for 50 years were following the most rigid austerities. I knew this older Indian gentleman, and his son left home out of a family quarrel, and his wife died out of heartbreak after 1 year. And then he said, "I will not come home until my son comes home. I will not eat any grains. I will not have any oil. I will not have any sugar. I will not have any nuts. I will not have any this." And he only ate milk, fruit, and boiled vegetables. That's all he ate. And I met him 40 years after that. Once they said something. Anyway, Vasudev, you know, turned over the child, and then Kamsa kind of had a change of heart. And then, long story, Narada Muni told him that, no, all these children, they're born, the demigods are born, and Kamsa just killed all the children. Which is also a very, very interesting point about Krishna's birth. It's true, Krishna appeared, but his birth is also symbolic of how Krishna appears in the heart. Because the six sons that were born in Devaki's womb were the sons of Kamsa, I believe, in his previous life. And they were the Garbhasuras. Garbha means the womb, Asura, the demons in the womb. And they were the personification of lust, anger, greed, illusion. There's six material, Prabhupada calls them whips that beat us. These six qualities. Kamsa represents fear. So how the material nature, material energy works, when we follow our lust, our greed, our anger, we become disconnected from our true self, which is love and service. Vayam dvitiya binivesi tashat ishad upe tasya vivarito suti. When you turn away from God, you turn away from yourself, and you have this temporary illusory identity, which is always threatened with non-existence. So the further and further you go into these things, the more and more fearful you come, until your fear builds up to a point where you lose confidence in your own opinion and desires and seek the truth. And that's what happened to us since time immemorial in the material world. We followed our lust, we followed our greed, we followed our anger, and it brought us so disconnected from the self and in the world of duality and threatened with non-existence. And somehow or other, we sought some truth higher than our own desires and opinions. Somehow or other. And then Balaram appears in the womb. Balaram is guru. When the material fear creates doubt in our material faith, we seek an authority higher than our desires or opinion. And then Balaram appeared. And then Krishna sent Yogamaya, who took Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And then Kamsa thought there was a miscarriage. And then Krishna was born. And she was so, Devaki was so brilliant, even though she was in a prison. It was just, she was so effulgent, and Kamsa knew, he was so fearful that, but now it really got bad, because it's not only killing a woman who is your sister, who is pregnant. So even Kamsa had to say, you know, even among the demons, this may ruin my reputation. I'll just wait till the child is born. And then by the mystery of Yogamaya, the child was born, and then it was transferred to the womb of Mother Yasoda. And then Krishna was born. Now I will finish off today's class with the Vrindavan National Anthem. Not that it's actually the birth song, and I'm really missing Vrindavan. I mean, what you miss about Vrindavan is the Bhav. I know many of you have been there with me. You know what I'm talking about, the Bhav. Everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Even the, you know, no one denies, there's no one that's not a devotee of Krishna that doesn't believe in Krishna, practically speaking. And therefore, even the rickshaw wallahs and the barba and, you know, it's just, and the shop wallahs and that's just in the city of Vrindavan. You go out to the villages and the culture is very, very developed. My God, we went to Nandagaon and there's one son of a Goswami that went to school in Vrindavan at the Gurukula. And he became very favorable to ISKCON and very close with Satchinandana Swami. So I remember we went with Raghunath's group and Satchinandana Swami's assistant, Banu Nandini, took us to his house. And, they, you know, the houses are like very big courtyards, and they served us lunch from the temple, from the deities at Nandishvara. Lord Shiva is manifest as the hill and the deities are on top. And then him and his mother demonstrated the Brijbasi dancing that illustrates all the stories and even got his mother to do the dance. And she put her sari over her head. And it's such a culture of all the pastimes and all the festivals and it's just so absorbing. So to have that culture around you, but on Krishna's birthday, there's one particular song and I will teach you the song if you don't know it. The first line is Nanda Maharaj K. Ananda, happiness, Baya, became. Nanda Maharaj became happy. Krishna is born. So it's Nanda K. Ananda Bhayo. Nanda Maharaj became happy. Why? Jai Kaneya Lal. Lal means darling. Jai means all glories to Kaneya. Kaneya is a very beautiful name for Krishna, which means small Krishna, child Krishna. So Kaneya Lal. Jai Kaneya Lal Ki. Jai Kaneya Lal. And then Nanda Maharaj gave charity. Just like in America, when a son is born, then the father gets cigars and he hands out the cigars. And he's relishing his parental ras through like his dhanavir, giving charity. But it's really his parental feelings. So Nanda Maharaj gave charity, but really, it was more opulence. So he gave elephants. Hati is elephants. Hati Diya. He gave elephants. Gora Diya. He gave horses. Or Diya Palaki. And he gave chariots. So I'm going to transfer myself to Vrindavan. And when Dina Bandhu would do this, it was really great. When he would say Hati Diya, he would go like this, like an elephant. When he'd say Gora Diya, he'd go like this, riding a horse. And when he'd go Or Diya Palaki, he would go like this, like it's a pot, and the whole audience would do it. I remember my first Janmashtami in Vrindavan, I was asked for the noon aarti to worship Gaurni Thai, and I'm just new there. And when the door opened up, there was thousands of people and I was pelted with coins. People were throwing coins. I said, wow. Yeah, you'll never find a place more enthusiastic in devotion than the Krishna Balaram Mandir and the North Indian people. They're some of the worst dancers in the world. But when that temple door opens, they are enthusiastic. They're pushing and crushing to the front and dancing wildly and cheering. That whole area around where Krishna is born is just so, so. Nanda Kaya, Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Nanda, you can sing at home too if you want. I'll start again. Nanda Kaya, Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Nanda Kaya, Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki, Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki, Jai Kaneya Lalki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. Nandakeya Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Nandakeya Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki, Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki, Jai Kaneya Lalki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. Nandakeya Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. 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 Jai Kaneya Lalki, Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki, Jai Kaneya Lalki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. So it has such a mood. It's filled with bhav when they sing it for Krishna. So great, we had some class and we have a nice group of devotees. Anyone would like to share some reflections?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Thank you for class. It was wonderful. I love the singing. That was so wonderful to end class that way.
And Radhi Krishna put the song on.
Yes.
Lines I didn't even know. Okay.
So nice. Okay. But I was really, it was mind-blowing, the thing about the Akash Bani actually coming from the demigods. It's like, we've got to stop Kamsa. That was such an interesting point. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah,
such an interesting point.
Well, always Narada Muni is stirring up the Leela. Narada Muni is the one that inspired Kamsa to, you know, kill the rest of the children practically. You know, they wanted to expedite the appearance of Krishna. It's great. Okay. Thank you, Jamuna Jaya. Hari Bo.
Thank you, Raj. Hari Bo.
And I say to others, there's other classes during the day. I guess you'll have to do it in line and just dance in your apartments. Okay. Anybody else like to share reflection?
Okay. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Malati.
Malati, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Class was just beautiful the whole time. It just felt like such a fire of warmth and love. We could definitely feel the bhav. And your New York story only enhanced that bhav for you, I think, for all of us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Good. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Bo, Gail.
Yeah, I like the fact, I like the concept that, I mean, it's one you always make, but it's the concept that, you know, outside of Vrindavan, because Krishna is revered for his position, you know, there's no other option but to be, you know, that more distant servant. You know, it doesn't allow for intimacy. If you want intimacy, you have to go to Vrindavan.
I have three mantras. Position covers personality. Krishna's guard, God with his guard down. And Krishna's God, Krishna is God when God's at home. Okay, thank you, Gail. Anybody else? Anybody else want to say hello?
Thank you very much for the class. Very inspiring. And you are helping us to celebrate Janmashtami here. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Gloria Nohenu. Thank you. Anybody else?
Krishna Kumar, this is Eka Chakra. Thanks for the class.
Wow.
Hey. Yeah, I spent one Janmashtami in Vrindavan, and hearing that song again brought me back faster than any plane. Thanks for that.
Wow, isn't that something, huh?
Yeah.
How far do you live from Hartford?
30 minutes max.
A bit south, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Bo. Thanks, Ake Chakra. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Like this.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Jagannath Habriya. Thank you for a class.
Oh, you're there in the rainy season. Is it raining a lot?
Yeah. And I want to show you a little bit the place where I am. One of the main temple. I mean, this building. This is Rama Temple.
Oh, you're outside and that's the ocean. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, now I see why you live in Gokarna. It looks like old India, right?
Yeah, that's it.
It's so nice to see India. And look at the monsoon clouds, right? That's the color of Krishna. That's Shama. That's Krishna's color. Wow.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Wow. Thank you. Whoa.
Thank you.
Good. Nice to see you, really. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Raja. Lal just had to go to work.
I'm sure he's there, but he's just invisible.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
Thank you for class.
Hi, Bo. Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Kishori. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo. I feel like I should call in sick to work now that you mentioned we should take Janmashtami off to focus. But it was very inspiring. Thank you very much.
Okay. When you get home from work, you'll have to do something more. Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Don Cayley.
Hari Bo. Can you call me in a half hour, or you'll be busy in the garden? Call me in a half hour.
No. I'm done in the garden for the day.
Okay. Let's see your vegetables.
Could I do that? Let's see. Those are tomatoes. This is a good view from this side. You can see the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Cabbage, beets, tomatoes, squash, cucumbers, greens. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Good harvest, yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, it's Akiko. Happy Janmashtami.
Oh, Hare Bo. Happy Janmashtami, Akiko. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Indira.
Indira, Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. Wow. Thank you so much for your classes. They're so really interesting.
Thank you so much. Nice to hear from you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopinath.
Okay.
Happy Janmashtami.
I was hoping you would hear the kata. It's a good way to start. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we will end for today. And I'll see you tomorrow. We'll do the Prabhupada Katha. Okay, Haribo.